Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Richard P. Finnegan is the CEO of C-Suite Analytics, a consultancy specializing in engagement and retention solutions. He has been cited by Businessweek and Chief Executive as the leading thinker on employee retention, and he's author of The Stay Interview, which is published by Amacom, a division of the American Management Association. Dick, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you, Dave, very much. It's great to be here.
All right. The optimal first obvious question that strikes me is, what is a stay interview?
Hey, what a good place to start. The official, I'll call it the drumroll inviting definition, Dave, is stay interviews are one-on-one meetings between leaders, supervisors on all levels, including CEOs, and their newly hired and continuing employees to improve engagement and retention. So think of this as, you know, many of our companies do exit interviews when people leave. This is doing a structured meeting called a stay interview when people are here. And our clients do these typically once or twice a year, but at least two times with new hires, because if you can reduce turnover and improve engagement early on with employees, you tend to improve those things for the life of the employee. So one-on-one meetings between leaders and newly hired and continuing employees to improve engagement and retention.
Now, Dick, there are an awful lot of tools out there, some of the very noteworthy that involve surveys or apps or other forms of activity soliciting people's opinions that are an attempt to find out ways to improve employee engagement and retention. Why would stay interviews work if all these other cool, supposedly effective things don't really work? And what makes stay interviews different and more effective?
Yeah, great question. And you know, I'll tell you some blow-your-mind data. We have helped companies cut turnover from 30 to 70% in the first year after doing stay interviews. So you say, well, gosh, didn't these companies do surveys? Didn't they do exit surveys? There's a big secret here. And the big secret is surveys provide data, but they don't provide solutions. So it's so easy to look at a survey and say, all of our employees think this way, which of course they don't. You're looking at one line of data that represents thousands of people. So all of them think this way erroneously. And what they all want is more recognition. So intuitively, that is so easy to fix because we will have Employee Appreciation Week and Employee of the Month. Then we'll survey again next year, and those scores will go up. But of course, those scores don't go up because employees aren't asking for a picnic. They're not asking to watch somebody else get a trophy. They're saying, I want my supervisor to tell me when I do something well. And the second big secret, Dave, is the reason employees stay or leave or engage or disengage is their boss. And there are other reasons, but the primary reason, as proven by over 30 different studies, is it's the direct supervisor that influences those things. And if you think about when employees go home at the end of the day and they sit around the dinner table, what do they talk about? They don't talk about pay. They don't talk about benefits. They don't talk about Employee Appreciation Week. They talk about, do I trust my boss? Do I respect my colleagues? And do I like what I do? Now, there's a joke line here, which is, when have you ever heard a really good worker say, my boss treats me like dirt, but I'm holding on for Employee Appreciation Week? it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's good. You know, I've spoken to many, and I'm sure you have, they're probably your clients of yours, but let's not go down that road, many senior executives that I would term to be perhaps old school. And these people are of the opinion that engagement and retention, harumph, you know, I'm harumphing right now. Really, what difference does it make? Aren't we kind of getting all knotted up around this stuff? Aren't there a whole bunch of fish in the sea? Why should I be concerned about engagement and retention?
And you know, I'll take it a step further. They hear numbers. They hear a turnover percent or they hear an engagement score. And CEOs have this innate ability to take sales data and in some cases service data and convert it to revenue. In their heads, they can say, okay, if this number is this, and it means this much money to the bottom line. But when they hear turnover percents or engagement scores, it's duh, okay, I got it, but I can't anchor it to anything. So the inevitable anchor becomes, what's the benchmark? And so HR people check studies, they belong to groups that share information, or you use an engagement survey where you get benchmark data. And so the inevitable type of answer is, well, yeah, our turnover is 19% and the benchmark is 20, which drives the CEO to high-five the HR person and say, we're doing great because we're one hair better than the benchmark, Dave. And benchmark means mediocre. We are one hair better than mediocre, so we feel really good. But if you said to that CEO, would you feel really good if you were one hair better than mediocre on sales or service? They would say, no way. But we become so easily satisfied by benchmarks because it's all we have. And so our clients take a very different approach. We convert turnover and engagement to dollars, and we report those things in dollars, and they know what their turnover cost is every month, every year by leader, and they know what the engagement value is for each leader based on whether that leader exceeded the goal or came under the goal and how many dollars that's worth to the bottom line. So once you start thinking of this in terms of dollars instead of benchmarks, everything changes, and it needs to change because most executives are really reticent to take hard action on turnover and engagement, but they need to.
Now, you mentioned HR a little bit earlier in that response, and here at the American Management Association, we try to, I mean, our noble cause is to help new managers, middle managers, aspiring leaders, and whatnot. And so many of these people come to us and say, isn't this retention and engagement thing an HR problem? I mean, you know, we're busy. Do we really have to do this?
Right. And that's the biggest obstacle to standard views is time. And if you link back to what I said a few moments ago, that the main reason employees stay or leave or engage or disengage is their supervisor, then here, let's take an extreme example. There are HR people who say, you know, we really do standard views because I, in HR, do a focus group of new hires at 90 days. We all sit around, we have a cookie, and I say, how's it going? And they tell me, and then I know how it's going. But the point is, regardless of whether those employees are really open in that meeting, the key is to build a relationship with the supervisor. When you think about exit interviews and engagement surveys or focus groups or anything else, we're all looking for the thing. What's the thing that's going to make people stay? Do we need to add vision care? Do we need to reduce the employee premiums on health care? Do we need to have a gym and a wellness center? Do we need better food in the cafeteria? What's the thing? Well, the thing is have a better relationship with your boss. That's the thing. So when you say to HR, go meet with employees, do focus groups, do stay interviews, you're missing the point, and frankly, you're wasting your time. And it's just as absurd as saying to HR, you have a goal to cut turnover. Your bonus is based on turnover. Nobody else go figure it out. They can't figure it out. The surest way to cut turnover is to tell leaders on every level they have a goal and hold them accountable. Then your turnover will fall. But give them a good tool like stay interviews, it'll fall three times as much.
Dick, I'm curious, in your experience, do you find that these employees that participate in these stay interviews, are they forthcoming? Are they truthful? Do they really honestly state what they like and don't like about their jobs, or even if they're, you know, they're planning on leaving?
You know, the obvious answer, Dave, is they're very forthcoming if they trust their boss and are not forthcoming if they don't. And so trust becomes the keystone of doing stay interviews, but actually it's the keystone of everything. I'm a therapist. I'm a head bobber by training, and I learned long ago in grad school that the key to relationships is trust and self-esteem. You stick with people who are looking out for you, and you stick with people who make you feel good about being you. And so you throw that into organizations where there's stress, where there's competition. Well, that can be pretty hard to build trust. But I would bet you $20 that if you imagined right now the best boss you ever had and the worst boss you ever had. So do like a CNN split screen with the studded boss on one side and the one with the long nose with the pip on the end on the other. So if you think of your best boss and worst boss, I'll bet you $20 these two things are true. The first is that you trusted your best boss and you didn't trust your worst boss. And secondly, your best boss had shortcomings, which you so easily accepted. It's almost like they were cute because they couldn't do something well because you trusted them. But the worst boss had strengths, and you were completely blindfolded to those strengths because you didn't trust that boss, because that boss was a jerk. And that's the definition, Dave, of a jerk boss, someone you can't trust.
You know, I'm curious. I'm just going to go off script here for a second, Dick. And many times we talk about culture here on Edgewise and about what steps corporate leadership can take to improve, enhance, change, modify, evolve corporate culture. And it just strikes me that something like the stay interview is an awesome sort of stake in the ground to really, you know, put a breath of fresh air in a corporate culture. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a great idea as long as the executives understand that most of what we consider to be culture is really decentralized. And what I mean by that is, and there's a great finding by Gallup in their book, First Break All the Rules, where they say each manager really determines their own culture. So as you go down the organization chart, down to first-line leaders, they're the ones who build the culture. And so when you say to your managers, we want you to conduct stay interviews. We want you to ask 5 highly researched questions. We want you to probe deeply. We want you to take notes. We want you to come out of there with a plan for that employee so you can address the issues that are most important to them. We want you, as part of our process, to forecast how long that employee will stay. And we're going to ask you to be accountable for retention goals and retention forecasts. Then you have a process in place that really works, that is a tool that executives and leaders on all levels can use. And when I say process, it's inescapable. It's not soft skills training where you go and learn something, but research tells us 3 months later you probably aren't doing the thing. This is a process you put into place that locks in. So yes, it's a great way to build the culture. It's also a great thing to tell employees when you're recruiting them. We do stay interviews. Our leaders will sit with you and ask you these questions and will build a stay plan for you because it's important to us that you stay here as long as you perform.
And just to wrap up, I'm going to return to a previous thought, and that's this issue of employees being honest and being truthful because they trust their managers. Is it possible to utilize these stay interviews as a trust-building exercise or process for the managers and the employees, or do you sort of have to have the trust already established?
The answer is yes. That most managers can increase their trust levels with their teams by asking the questions, taking notes, probing, building good stay plans, and doing what they say. It's a great way to build trust. There are a few managers who will fail to do it, and the temptation becomes that HR says, let me go in and do it for this manager because they can't build trust. Or the manager above that manager says, I'm going to sit in on those meetings. I would tell them, no, coach that manager, role play with that manager, give them all the skill building you can, but they have to own their team. The employees are going to stay or leave or engage or disengage based on a relationship with that person, not somebody else who's in the room. Mm-hmm. So turn them loose. Help them build their skills. The majority of them will build skills. A few won't. And if they can't, they shouldn't be there. It's so interesting. When I speak to groups of CEOs and I say, how many of you can think of a manager in your company on any level who has trouble building trust? And if you can think of someone, please raise your hand. Almost all of them raise their hands. And the point of the exercise is it differentiates the importance of building trust from, say, giving positive feedback, being a career coach, anything else. Study after study has proven the critical skill for retention is leaders build trust. And so we've got to coach them, we have to teach them, we have to reinforce them, and we have to fire them if they can't build trust. If they can't build trust, they can't be in that job.
So, Dick, if people listening want to find out more about the stay interview, is there any way that they can reach you?
Oh, Dave, I'd be glad to hear from anyone about standard views or ways we could help them with our company or speaking engagements. And the best way to reach me is my email address, which is D as in Dick, Finnegan, Finnegan, at the letter C as in Charles, then a dash or hyphen, suite, S-U-I-T-E, analytics, analytics.com. So my email address is dfinnegan at c-suiteanalytics.com. Thank you for asking.
We've been speaking to Richard Finnegan. He's author of the book, The Stay Interview. Dick, it's been awesome. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, Dave. Take care.
Follow the American Management Association on Twitter to learn about upcoming free programs, the latest news, management insights, and special offers. You can follow us at AMANET. That's AMANET. Hope to tweet to you real soon. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.